This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
My guest is Cullen Murphy, and his new book is Are We Rome? The Fall of an Empire and the Fate of America. Good afternoon, Cullen.
Good afternoon, Coy. Very glad to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Let's start real quick, if we can, with sort of a Cullen Murphy 101. Let folks know who you are and a little bit about your background.
Well, you know, I think we're all trying to figure out who we are, but I've been a journalist and editor for 30 years, for a long time at the Atlantic Monthly, which was based in Boston. And about a year ago, I was enlisted by Graydon Carter at Vanity Fair to become editor-at-large at Vanity Fair. So I've been, while working out of Boston, I've also been working out at Vanity Fair. And through most of my career, I've also written books of one sort or another. And Are We Rome is the latest, and it's based really on a lifelong passion for ancient Rome and on many, many trips to that wonderful city.
Is that how you got into this book? I mean, the title alone is going to sell copies. It's just a terrific, terrific title, a great book. And I've heard you with other interviews, you're on quite a promotional tour. You've been very busy.
This is one of those topics, I think, that resonates with lots of people. We all get a bit of Rome in our educations, not as much as we would have gotten, you know, 50 years or a century ago, but everybody gets some. I was fortunate when I was a youngster to be taken to Rome by my parents, and I remember the overwhelming impact that the city had on me at that time, which is pretty much the usual impact that city has on first-time visitors. There's an entire literature of people like, you know, Henry James and, of course, Edward Gibbon, what the first sight of the ruins of Rome are like. And of course it plants the question, why, how did this great state come apart, and what kind of a world are we living in right now? What's the relationship between their world and our world? And you know, I think that those kinds of questions hit even kids of 10 or 12, much less adults, people who have some experience in the world.
My guest is Cullen Murphy, and his new book is Are We Rome? Before we talk about the similarities, perhaps, between America and the Roman Empire, give us a sense of, when we say the Roman Empire, what are we talking about, this incredibly powerful and reached around the world?
It's one of the difficulties of making comparisons is simply defining what is it that you're talking about. That's a great question. In essence, you have a state that begins, you know, very small around the 8th century BC, and it quickly, by around the 2nd century BC, it has spread around the shores of the Mediterranean, and by around the time of, you know, the birth of Christ, it is an empire, more or less, with its largest configurations. At some point, it becomes too unwieldy and splits in half between east and west. And the east goes on and lives for a long time, and the west pretty much falls apart by the end of the 5th century AD. Meanwhile, the one other big thing that happens is, politically, the nature of the place changes. It goes from a monarchy at the very beginning, and it becomes a republic. It lasts as a republic for hundreds of years, and then it becomes an empire. You would have to say a tyranny. With a real emperor and so on. And that was the way it was for its final 400, 500 years. And our founding fathers looked back at Rome, at the Republic, with both fear and awe. They liked some of what they saw in the Roman Republic, and they feared that our new Republic might go the way of Rome.
And of course, Thomas Jefferson's writings are full of these warnings. You know, here's some things you need to look out for. Share with us some of those similarities that you believe hit perhaps a little too close to home.
Well, you know, Jefferson is a great case in point for capturing this ambivalence about Rome that the founding fathers had. You know, on the one hand, he is head over heels in love with certain kinds of Roman architecture. And, I mean, you spend 1 second in Charlottesville and you can see it. at the same time, he knew what could happen as a republic erodes into something tyrannical, and called for a revolution every 19 years, as I recall, to try to stave this off. But taking the two states, America and Rome, and just coming up with a few rough differences and similarities, the differences are many, and some of them are fundamental. The level of inequality in America, although we bemoan it, is nothing like what it was in Rome, where the income gap between the top 1/1000th of 1% and everybody else was on the order of 5 or 10,000 to 1. Rome was a slave society. We have not been a slave society for a century and more, if you don't count the occasional couple in Los Angeles and Long Island. And we are a democracy. We see that our democracy is imperfect and messy, and we wring our hands about it. But nonetheless, we can vote people out, and the Romans, weren't able to do that. So there's a whole list of things that are different, but some of the similarities I think are kind of haunting, and worth paying attention to. Our military situation, for instance, there's a fundamental parallel here, which is Rome's army, like our army, is too small to do the vast array of things that it's being asked to do around the world. And yet at the same time, it's too big to be easy to maintain, to get enough people to fill its ranks. That's a fundamental issue, and Rome faced it and tried to solve that problem in the same way that we did. We can come back to that if you want. How we both view the outside world, there's a tendency among both Romans and Americans to be very insular, to think that we are the world, and to have trouble getting into the minds of outsiders. That's another issue, perhaps.
Civis Romanus sum. When the Romans would go abroad and say, don't you know I'm a Roman citizen?
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
Exactly. And that afforded them a certain amount of protection. Of course, nowadays, the notion that you're an American citizen can be a source of danger. I fear. And another parallel between the two places is just the nature of the capital cities, which are very proud places. They think they're the center of the universe. I don't know that evidence is even required to be brought to bear to prove that one. And they're both very artificial places. They're not, unlike London or Paris, which are, they're real functioning cities with lots and lots of aspects to them, manufacturing and financial services and things like that. Rome and Washington are these real oddities. They're living off the wealth of everybody else, and yet they are able to tell everybody else what to do. It's a bizarre kind of situation.
Cullen,
so those are some of the differences, some of the similarities that I look at.
Cullen Murphy is editor-at-large at Vanity Fair, and his new book is Are We Rome? The Fall of an Empire and the Fate of America. Cullen, I have heard you spoken in the past about the issue of privatization, that government taking steps to outsource some of its responsibilities. Tell us if Rome did this, and is that perhaps another similarity?
I would argue that it is, and it's certainly a wonderful subject for debate. There's an extraordinary scholar of Rome by the name of Ramsay MacMullan who has written on the subject of just corruption and privatization in ancient Rome. And what this term means really is that over time it comes to be the case that anybody who wants a government job has to buy it, and anybody who wants a government service performed has to buy it. Government becomes, in effect, a totally private enterprise. It's almost a market enterprise, where if you've got enough money, you can get the government to do what you want, and if you don't, you can't. This has all sorts of ramifications, and it certainly doesn't lead to good government, and it doesn't lead to a sense of everybody pulling together. And and McMullen, this scholar, argues that, you know, the result over time was this terrible hollowing out of the government's power. You know, power becomes powerless. Now, in our own time, something very similar is happening, you know, partly through the same mechanisms, partly through corruption and so on, and partly also through another mechanism which is even larger, and that is the selling off to the private sector of various government functions like roads, lotteries, prisons, or bringing the private sector in and asking them to run certain things for you. And I understand that any one of these episodes can make sense. You know, we all know government is bloated and sometimes isn't as efficient and so on. But there comes a point where you know, the power of the government had kind of more or less tilts away from effectiveness. And you wonder really who is in charge. I think you see this, for instance, during the response to Hurricane Katrina. You saw it, or you see it now in with the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, which is another case of privatization. You see it in the way the military is being operated, with more and more military functions being given over to private contractors.
I think of the new book Blackwater, which explores that in some detail. It's quite alarming.
Blackwater is a classic case in point, but of course it's only one of thousands of companies that have taken over government jobs. I think the figure, and I may be off by, you know, the odd million or two here, but the civilian workforce of the federal government is something on the order of about 2 million people. The number of people who are actually doing government jobs, I mean, performing actual government services, but who happen to be working for some private company, is more on the order of 10 or 12 million. So you just see the extent to which government has been privatized. Now, one way that the Romans privatized government, they didn't have Blackwater per se. What they had was, when they wanted an outsider, they went to people whose names we remember as Visigoths, Huns, you know, Ostrogoths, Vandals. In other words, they went to the people we think of as barbarians and said, you know, why don't you do this job for us? We've got a little military task. It'd be a big help for us if you could take it on, and you know, we'll pay you. But that kind of arrangement, you know, can sow seeds of trouble down the road. It doesn't take much imagination to see how and why.
And companies like Blackwater are hiring foreign nationals.
Well, they are, and with each step, the power of the central government becomes less and less. I mean, for instance, there's a lot of talk about building a so-called virtual wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, and that will be given to a major corporation. I think, the contract has already been awarded. Now, that corporation will, of course, be parceling out the contract to subcontractors, who will then parcel it out further to more subcontractors. You know, where's the role of government in this? When push comes to shove, when you need accountability, when you need to make sure that an order that is issued, you know, from the Oval Office travels all the way down to a person standing on the border, how many different phone calls does that take? And who is answering to who? Who's answering to the citizenry, and who is answering to shareholders? It's a classic example of how you know, power becomes powerless, to use Ramsay McMullen's classic formulation.
And if I hear you right, this privatization had much to do with the fall of Rome, where they got to the point where there was such a hatred of government that it was gone.
It was the real
and the country
issue
fell.
Was that it became harder and harder for orders to be carried out because the directness between the center and the periphery was lost. There were just too many intervening. There were too many people you had to pay bribes to. There were too many private interests that stood in the way. It's like a machine where at one point you had a very simple gear mechanism that, you know, resulted in you being able to, you know, shift
right, right.
in your car, and suddenly replacing that with 20 different mechanisms in between, it makes the government impossible to function.
Cullen Murphy's new book is Are We Rome? Got a couple of minutes left. Cullen, what can we do as a country to avoid what every great empire in the past has faced, which is decline? And I guess we could argue that some empires didn't face such decline. Christopher Hitchens has said that one of the greatest things that happened to Great Britain was losing the American War for Independence, because then they could outsource all their military spending. And then they didn't have to worry about these great armies and controlling the world.
Yes, well, in Britain, I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for Christopher's view here. Britain, of course, had to lose not only the American colonies, but all of its other colonies before it got to that position. But he's got a point, and Rome, of course, lost its empire, but Italy is a pretty marvelous place. I wouldn't argue anything quite that extreme, but a number of people make the argument that just trying to hold on at all costs to everything that you have, to the status quo exactly as it is, that's not a mature approach to growth. And I think, for one thing, we need to reduce the tasks that we're giving the military, and one way of doing that is an energy policy. It may take 100 years to become far more energy independent, but we will thank our lucky stars the day that we do. That's one thing. And the second thing is to pay attention to supporting our institutions at home. Stop trying to farm everything out to the private sector. Start taking some pride in the things that government can do well.
Cullen Murphy, he is the author of Are We Rome? The Fall of an Empire and the Fate of America. Cullen, it's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.